for this morning, for Pentecost Sunday, to receive something? Good. I'm ready. So for those of you who weren't aware who aren't too sure what this is all about, today is what we call Pentecost Sunday. Now, Pentecost is originally, well, it still is, a Jewish festival. And around about this time, the time of Jesus, 2,000 or so years ago, all of the Jewish people from all over the Roman Empire, all over the known world, would return to Jerusalem for this massive festival. And it was at this time, after Jesus had completed his mission, he died, he'd risen again, he'd returned to his disciples. It was at this time, at Pentecost, several weeks later, that God decided, okay, this is where we get started. This is where we start our big adventure. This is where we begin changing the world. So I'm excited. And this is the time at Pentecost where God poured out his Holy Spirit upon the church, upon the disciples. Now, if you've been part of our Alpha group, if you've been, well, just listening to some of the words today, we've been talking a lot about this Holy Spirit. And sometimes even Christians get a little bit confused about who the Holy Spirit is. We get the sense of, okay, God, the Father, he's God, and the Son, Jesus, he's God as well, and the Holy Spirit is just sort of there. We don't always know how to best describe him. Well, I think, you know, it's best to go back to what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. The Bible describes the Spirit of God using this Hebrew word, ruach. Can you all say that? You've got to clear your throat at the end. Ruach. Yeah. It's a beautiful word because this is the metaphor they've used to describe the ruach of God, the Spirit of God. You know, this is probably the coldest, windiest, wettest May that I've ever experienced, and I'm waiting for June to arrive, hopefully a bit more of the summer. But as you've been looking out at the wind and the waves blowing the trees around, that is ruach. Ruach means wind. And in the same way you can't see the wind, you can see its effect, and its very powerful effect on the world around you. That's ruach. Now, everybody, take a deep breath. You feel that? Yep. That is the revitalizing power of your breath, specifically the energy, the life that it brings to you. That as well is ruach. In the same way that you can't see your breath, unless it's a very cold day, you can feel the life power that it gives you. That is what the Holy Spirit does for us. And I want to really sort of like big up the Holy Spirit this morning, because nobody ever changed the world by themselves. We need the Holy Spirit. And this was Jesus' tactics all along. God was saying, well, Jesus on earth is Jesus in one place. And don't get me wrong, he did amazing, amazing things, healing people, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons, loving on people, going to the weakest, the poorest, the most oppressed in society and setting them free. But Jesus on earth is Jesus in one place. He's limited geographically. But now, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on every follower of Jesus, on every person who believes in Jesus. The Holy Spirit empowers every believer to do what Jesus did. And if you're a follower of Jesus who knows the Holy Spirit, who's walking with him, empowered by him, it should be the case that when you walk into the room, it's just like God himself walks into the room. I don't know if you caught that. If you are a believer empowered by the Holy Spirit walking with him, when you walk into the room, it should be as if God himself walked in. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, well, it doesn't seem like that. And, you know, I feel like I know the Holy Spirit, but I certainly don't feel like things change when I walk in a room. And I think this is why we need the Holy Spirit to bring that revelation. It's one thing to know up here the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to know in here, to experience him. And the Holy Spirit, he is the presence of God. He is God in the room with us. He is God empowering us, living within us. And he wants to bring that revelation of knowing God from here to here. From just knowing about God to knowing God himself, experiencing him. And then he wants to take it from our head to our heart, to our hands, sharing it, moving in action. The Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us, guides us, leads us to be able to see all the different things that aren't quite right in the world, that aren't quite right in our world, and do something about it. And that's where we're going this morning. So I hope you're ready to receive something, because the Holy Spirit is ready to give you something. Sound good? Cool. All right, well, let's have a look a bit of context, okay? So we're going to jump into Acts chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8, okay? And this is what's going on here. It should be on the screen behind me. There we go. So the disciples, the apostles, they just seen Jesus risen from the dead. And their hopes were high, as I'm sure yours would be as well. So this is the first thing they ask him. Say, when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? They're thinking, yeah, brilliant. In other words, is now the time, Jesus, where you're going to boot out the Romans and you're going to, you know, establish us once again? Listen to Jesus' response to this. Verse 7, he said to them, it's not for you. The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They're not up to you to know. But, verse 8, you will receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I love that word because I'm a linguistics nerd. That word power there is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. That is the kind of dynamite power that Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit wants to give to us. Now, I think in these three verses here, Jesus is wanting to take the disciples on this three-step journey of head to heart to hands. Because the disciples stay up here in head knowledge. They say, is now the time? Are you going to tell us? Is now the time that you're going to, you know, restore the kingdom to Israel? And here's Jesus' response. He says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. Now, I think what Jesus is trying to say here is that you don't need all of the plans, all of the answers. You know, I'm preaching to myself here more than anyone else, because you think I'm fully present right here, right now, but there's a tiny part of my brain that is still fretting about yesterday's incomplete to-do list. We have so much headspace, just so caught up in this. But I think Jesus is saying you don't need all the plans, all the answers, everything in your head, okay? This is the one gripe I have with the Bible, is that it's a book, it's not a DVD. So when we read the Bible, it's not like we get, you know, HD versions of exactly what Jesus said and how he said it and the way he said it and where. You know, when Jesus is saying, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, we have a tendency to make God a little bit meaner than he actually is. I don't think Jesus, when he says that, I don't think he's saying, you know, how dare you ask that? You know, it's not for you to know. Stay in your lane. This is my business. It's not yours. But I think he's a bit gentler than that. I think when he says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, it's more along the lines of, you don't have to worry about that right now. You don't have to worry. You know, I love it when, especially when I'm really busy, and someone says, oh, let me take care of that for you. There was a time, you know, I felt so special when me and Rachel were checking into a hotel once, and I'd never experienced anything like that. Someone coming along with a smart uniform saying, can I carry a bag, sir? I was happy just to be called sir, but someone saying, you know, let me take care of that for you. That's the kind of vibe that I think Jesus is going for here. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons. You don't have to worry about that. Jesus is speaking to our heads here, our heads that are so caught up in, I need to know this. I need to have everything sorted. I need to have everything planned out. But right before he goes into talking about receiving the Holy Spirit, Jesus is addressing our head knowledge here first. He is saying, it's not for you to know. You don't need to worry about that. It's not about what you know, what you've planned. It's not about having everything together. It's not about qualifications. And immediately, before we get into anything of the Holy Spirit, I think Jesus is saying, just let me take the pressure off there. Stop thinking so hard. Stop overthinking. You know, Jesus is saying to 12 smelly fishermen, not the smartest people in the world, especially if you read the Gospels, you know, John's constantly throwing Peter under the bus. 12 smelly fishermen, he's saying, just don't worry. It's not about your education. It's not about your strength. It's not about your influence. It's not about your power. These 12 fishermen changed the world, not because of what they knew, not because of what was going on up here, but because they had the Holy Spirit, because they had God Almighty empowering them personally. You know, if you were to be there, 33 AD, about 2,000 years ago, and you had to make a bet, what would last the next 2,000 years? The Roman Empire, the biggest, baddest, meanest empire the world had ever seen, or the stories of 12 fishermen? You'd bet on the Roman Empire every single time. And yet, because of the Holy Spirit, because of God's Ruach, his power, working through these men, these stories, these women, these children, these people, it spread like wildfire. And today, we call our children James and John and Peter and Mary, and we call our dogs Caesar and Nero. There's just, you wouldn't have thought it, would you? Only someone empowered by the King of the universe, his personal presence, could do that. It's not about power. It's not about strength. It's not about all the things we trust in up here, knowledge, education, qualifications. You know, like I'm saying, it's not about your intelligence. You just read the Gospels and you think, the stories of the disciples, you think, oh my gosh, you're so dim. Do you not get it sometimes? It's not about, you know, your strength, your power that you have, that you can work up. Because the Bible says, the joy of the Lord, that's my strength. That's the real strength. It's not about your age, how old you are, how young you are. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they were old. I'm not just talking about old. They were old. They were ancient. They were pretty decrepit. But God is saying, you guys are the foundation of a nation. What you can't do in your own strength because of your age, what you can't do in your own strength, I don't care. My Holy Spirit is going to empower you, and you will give birth to Isaac. You'll give birth to a whole nation. Only God can do that. It's not about what you can work up in your mind, in your strength. It's not about your qualifications. You know, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that qualifies you for the Holy Spirit. But in the same way, there's nothing that disqualifies you either. The Holy Spirit wants to redeem those areas in your life, the areas that you feel like, you know, I'm not the smartest, I'm not the strongest, I'm not the fastest, I'm not the prettiest, I'm not the most influential. Those are the very areas that the Holy Spirit wants to redeem to become your greatest strengths. You know, I'm an overthinker at times. I don't chat about it, but in here, this is often running wild. I overthink. I worry, have I got all the plans right? Have I ticked everything off my to-do list? Have I texted that person? If there's, you know, one unread email in my inbox, I stress out. I'm an overthinker. And God is saying, right, I can use that. Your analytical mind, I'm going to cause you to dive deep into Scripture to understand the mysteries of God. He's redeeming up here. No, don't switch off your brain. When we come to God, we're not just walking in blindly. We're not switching off our intelligence. We're not switching off our minds, but we do need to renew them. Renew your minds. All of these things, your intelligence, your skill, your talents, God loves those. He gave them to you. All these things open doors, but they're not a prerequisite. They're things that the Holy Spirit wants to put his weight behind. This isn't about what you understand up here in your head. It is a complete change of nature. It's going from, okay, I know, I've read, I think that God brings peace, to I know the peace of God in my life. I experience it. It's going from I know that God is good to seeing the goodness of God, experiencing the goodness of God in your life. It's going from head to heart. It's not for you to know all of the times and the seasons, all the ins and outs, what everyone is planning for the next year, whether we're going to be allowed to go on holiday this summer, whatever it might be. Don't stress out about it. It's not for you to know. but you will receive power. Moving from head to heart, what does Jesus say? You will receive power. I'm going to read from the next chapter in Acts. It's not going to appear on the screen, but I'm just going to read this to you. When Jesus had ascended into heaven and said, you will receive power, wait for the Holy Spirit. This is what happens in Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, that we're celebrating today, they were all together in one place. Sounds very familiar, being locked in the same room for days on end. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, as that ruach, the sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. I think Luke, the author of Acts here, is basically trying to describe the indescribable. This is what happens when God, the Holy Spirit, shows up. He floods the room, he fills their hearts, and boom, it's the church's birthday. This is where the church gets started. This is the difference between knowing God and seeing him in action. And not just in action, but in action through you and through me as well. Jesus said, because of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to the Father, you, that's you singular, you will do the same things that I do. And even greater things. Now you read through the Gospels, see Jesus raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons, healing people, loving on people. And my challenge to you this morning is, are you seeing that in your everyday life? When you walk into a room, when you pick up the phone, when you bump into someone on the street, when you do your shopping, when you're chatting with your hairdresser, when you're collecting your post, when you're in your workplace, are you seeing the sick being healed? Are you seeing those who are downcast and oppressed being set free? And if not, why not? Are you seeing God in action every time you go and pick up the milk? And if not, why not? Because the Bible says this is for every believer. We just said it's not about what qualifies or disqualifies you, your age, your strength, your appearance, your talents. Nothing standing in the way. And we're going to spend a little bit of time later on praying for you to receive that, but this is what God wants to do through you. Now, I've discovered that the more time I spend with Rachel, the more I become like her, essentially. I pick up her mannerisms, her ways of speech, her way of doing things, and vice versa. The more time you spend with someone, the more you become like them. They've even done like strange scientific studies where they've like taken pictures of married couples over years and years, and they even start to look like one another. The more time you spend with someone, the more you become like them. So spend time with the Holy Spirit in prayer, in worship, in reading the word, in just having a conversation with him. Because the Holy Spirit wants to give you dunamis, dynamite power over your world, where you're no longer defined by worldly labels. Jesus said at the Last Supper to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends instead. You're no longer defined by worldly labels. You know, I'm a self-confessed introvert. Someone asked me, how many introverts does it take to change a light bulb? And I say, I don't know. Why does it have to be a group activity? But that is not going to be the thing that holds me back. I need space. I need time to recharge my batteries. I can't be around lots of people all at once. And without the Holy Spirit, I'd happily shy away, just play Xbox all day. But what has God done? He has redeemed that in me. There's a reason why I'm bouncing around at the front every Sunday during praise and worship. It's not because it's normal for me, because it really, really isn't. But what am I doing? I'm with the Holy Spirit. I'm walking with him. I'm empowered with him. I'm giving him my best because he deserves it. And he gives me his best, his power, his love, his peace, removing all labels completely. You know, what's been amazing to see in this church, these people in front of me, is that this lockdown, this year and a half, these multiple lockdowns, they've brought you in. They've brought you into your homes and not allowed you to leave. They've brought you away from work, away from friends. They brought you in. But because you guys have responded to God, because you've not limited that, not limited the Holy Spirit, he's brought out the best in you. I can just imagine after Jesus rising from the dead and saying, it's now the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And he says, you'll receive power, but wait for the Holy Spirit. I can just imagine the disciples were locked in this room together for weeks and weeks, just praying, waiting for the Holy Spirit. They stayed in the upper room. You know, you might think, well, at least they were with friends. I couldn't see my family and friends. No. Arguably, that might be even worse. You know, during the first lockdown, me and Rachel, when we'd had enough of each other, we'd run to opposite sides of the house. But they were together, locked down together in one place, waiting for the Holy Spirit. And then he came, like tongues of fire, like a mighty rushing wind, filled with power. They moved into his hearts, and he moved into their hearts, and he's never moving out. And it's the same with you. You know, this, like I say, this is not just head knowledge up here. This is a complete, upside down, back to front, transformation of your life. It's not just that your old labels, your old identity is deleted. It's like God has completely reformatted the hard drive. There's no way of you getting it back unless you stay stuck in those labels of, I'm too weak. I'm not good enough. I need to perform more. And you type them back in yourself. Come on, God wants to give you, the Holy Spirit wants to give you new identity, new life. You know, that interview that didn't go so well, that exam that didn't go so well, that trauma that really hurt you, that job that you're stuck in, that relationship that is strained, all of these things, all of these labels that we build into, whether we want to or not, where we build into our identity. God, the Holy Spirit, is wanting to redeem that. You will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. This is power that isn't based off our qualifications, how much we know up here. This is experiencing God himself. Power to change your life, power to change your world. And here's the thing, it's power to change other people's worlds as well. We move from head to heart to hands. The Holy Spirit leads you to change your world and the worlds of others. What's the final thing he says in Acts 1:6? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. You'll go out. You'll share this. Immediately after they're filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll read again from Acts 2. They've just been blown away by the Ruach, the wind, the Spirit of God. And then immediately, it's like the scene shifts. We're outside. Now in Jerusalem, they were staying God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. This is one of the biggest festivals of the year. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. These Galilean fishermen who probably had a funny accent and didn't speak much Egyptian or Greek or Latin, all of a sudden were being empowered by the Spirit to speak in other languages. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all of those who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. It's a long list. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? When God shows up, people ask, what does this mean? Some of them, however, made fun of them and said, oh, they've had too much wine. They're drunk. Then Peter stood up with the apostles, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people aren't drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In these last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on some people, holy people, people that know all the right things, say all the right things. No, in these last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. They will, not they might, not they could, they will prophesy. The first thing that the Holy Spirit did was lead them out, head to heart to hands. Lead them out. There's a reason for that. There's this word that gets thrown about in Christian circles quite a lot, living in the overflow. And I think it's a good word because you, as you move from head to heart to hands, walking with God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, you realize you're not just filled up with just enough in the tank to get through the day, but you're given more than enough, more than enough, so that you can share with others. Walking by the Spirit, empowered by God, you get to not just, you know, wait to get to heaven someday, but you get to bring heaven to earth now and destroy hell for a living. I want that call. I want that job. What's he saying? You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. It's bigger. It's wider than we could ever have expected. Jesus is saying, when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, you'll be called out of your comfort zone to new people and places and things that maybe you've even written off. Jews and Gentiles at that time did not get on. But what is the Holy Spirit saying? You will go there to these people that you've written off, and you will be my witnesses. Everything and everywhere and everyone is possible. Now, don't get me wrong here. You can't do everything. One person can't do everything. But the Holy Spirit is saying, with me, you can do anything that you set your mind to. You can't do everything, but you can do anything. So what is your lane? What is your gift? Where is your calling? Who are the people and the places that the Holy Spirit is taking you to? Because you have a unique mission. There are people and places represented in this room that I could never reach in 1,000 years, but you could. There are worlds out there, people, situations that I could never reach, but you can. You have a unique call. And as I was thinking about this, you know, I was thinking about earlier this week, me and Rachel spontaneously the night before decided to take 2 days off. We drove up to Oxford and I was nerding out around the university, just seeing all the lovely buildings and dreaming that, oh, one day I'll do a PhD there, because that's what I dream about. I have really nerdy dreams. I will get to do this. And as I was thinking, you know, it was a rest. It was also a wonderful adventure. And at the end of the 2 days, we were sat in Pizza Express, just happily munching on dough balls and just being content, just reflecting on the whole thing. And as I was reflecting on this, I started to go into head mode again, overthinking. You know, I've got to get this in my life sorted. I've got to get a master's degree, and then I'll be back for a PhD in Oxbridge and this, that, and the other. My mind was just running wild. And I realized in that moment that all of my, what I like to call kitchen floor moments, all of my kitchen floor moments where the world just piled on top of me and I didn't know what to do, nearly all of them came from staying up here too long, from feeling insignificant, from feeling like I'm behind in life, that I'm not good enough. And Rachel, I do believe she was speaking by the Holy Spirit through this. Whether she could tell what was going on or not, she just started to speak about legacy. And she started to say about how, you know, you can't do everything, Chris. I know it's in your heart, in your dreams to, you know, get a doctorate from Oxbridge or this, that, and the other, to travel, to reach the world, to this, that, and the other. But she started to talk about legacy, about how, well, even if you're not the one to do it, maybe kids down the line will. Maybe spiritual disciples will. Maybe friends that you've influenced will do that. And I just felt the pressure lifting off, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. That label that had been hijacked in me of like, I have to do everything. I have to know everything. I have to be everywhere. I have to meet everyone. I have to save the world by myself. Now, that came out of a good heart, but it had been hijacked, and the pressure was just building and building. And Rachel, speaking by the Holy Spirit, just said, just took all the pressure off. That's what he wants to do in your life. You will receive power, not just physical strength, not just signs and wonders, as amazing as they are, but power over your own mind, over those thoughts, over those situations and circumstances. When that was happening, I called to mind something the Holy Spirit dropped into my heart a while back. Just out of the blue, he said, you know, Chris, you will reach people. You will reach generations that haven't even been born yet. And I was like, man, that's not down to me. I can't do that. But God in me can. And because of that, you know, my dreams, they're now alive. But the pressure's off. My dreams aren't here yet, but I've seen them as if they are in the present tense. And walking and working with you guys, this is the beginnings of my dreams coming true. Seeing this community transformed, seeing you mold and won for God, seeing people in Tesco healed, seeing all sorts of incredible things as the Holy Spirit just blows through this community, the wind of the Spirit. It's not about who you know in this life. You know, we all often talk about if you want your dreams to come true, you've got to work hard, and working hard, it is important. But who you know in this world can't trump who you know in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the King of the universe. It doesn't have to be about, you know, having enough money or resources. You know, we hear these stories of, you know, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. They started Microsoft and Apple, and they were just in their garages as teenagers, as students, typing on these things. What people don't realize is that, you know, they had their dad's money to back it up. And you might think, well, I could never do that. Well, with the Holy Spirit, you have the resources of heaven at your disposal. Your biggest lack can become your biggest strength in God. And you might be thinking, well, that sounds really lovely. I would like some of that. But is it really for me? I want to say it is. The Spirit will be poured out on all people. I don't know if you guys have ever, you know, been to a conference or a meeting that you feel like, I really don't need to be here. This could have easily been sent in an email or something like that. Even worse are the ones where you have, you know, a meeting before the meeting, before you, you know, get started with everything. We have to have like a 15-minute discussion of, you know, this is why it's really important that we're talking about this. And she's like, oh, please. But what I love is that way back at the start of the Bible, God had a meeting before the meeting. Before humanity was created, God set out his intention of why he did. If you were to read in Genesis, right before God created you and me, right before he created humanity, he said why. He had a meeting before the meeting. He said, let's make humanity in our image and in our likeness. What does that mean? Well, to be made in God's image, you look like God. When you walk with Jesus, knowing him, empowered by the Spirit, you look like God. And in his likeness, you do what God does. There's a reason why we're making such a big deal of Pentecost this morning, because it is the goal of the whole Bible. It's the original intent way back in Genesis, the intention of all of creation, reunited with God, looking like him in his image, doing like him in his likeness. This was the original intention of creation. It's the goal of the Bible. It's the reunification of heaven and earth. So now, rather than feeling like I have to go to a big special cathedral or a temple or this really holy environment to meet with God, the Holy Spirit living within you means you're a mini mobile temple. You bring the hot spot of God's presence wherever you go. There's a reason why we're called Christians. Christian means little Christ. If you're a Christian this morning, you are a little Christ. You should look like Jesus. You should do like Jesus. You bring little pockets of heaven to earth where you go. It's not about up here. Jesus is saying, just take the pressure off yourself. By all means, develop your skills, develop your talents, give them back to God. He loves that. They'll open doors. But it doesn't depend on this. This doesn't qualify you, but neither does it disqualify you. Because what you'll do, you'll receive power. You'll receive the presence of God, the King of the universe, living inside of you, and he's never moving out. To do what? To go and be like him. And this Sunday morning, on Pentecost Sunday, that's what God is offering to you this morning. We're going to spend just a little bit of time praying now. But this is what God is offering to you. Not just a quick fix to your problem. Not just some more knowledge and some scriptures to write in your journal. Not just even, you know, a one-off miracle that you can do. What is he offering you? The greatest gift you could ever receive. Himself. Being with Rachel is better than any present she could ever give to me. And I can think of some really good presents. Brand new car, brand new PlayStation, lovely old books. But being with God, that relationship is better than anything anyone could ever give you. And that's what he's offering this morning, his very self. Jesus on earth is Jesus in one place. But now with the Holy Spirit, he's saying, I'm ready to make my home in your heart, and I'm never, ever moving out. Do you want him? You know, God is a perfect gentleman. He's never going to force his way into your life. He gives us the dignity of deciding. But if you're feeling a pull this morning, if you're feeling like your heart's maybe going a little bit, or feeling a bit of excitement or a bit of uncertainty, maybe God this morning, the Holy Spirit, is just tugging on your heartstrings a little bit. So we're going to pray just for a couple of things, and we'll have some time after the service. If you want to come forward to pray with one of the team, we're going to do that as well. But before we do that, just want to pray, first of all, if there's anyone in here who has never said yes to Jesus, or maybe you did a long time ago, but you know that currently you're not walking with God in this way that I've just described, where you know you need to get right with God, where you know you need his love and his forgiveness to return to him. We'll pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit in just a second. But if there's anyone in here who's saying yes to Jesus, maybe for the first time or as a recommitment, I'm just going to pray a prayer, and you know, you could repeat this under your breath or in your heart, whatever you're comfortable with. But if you know you need to get right with God, you want to come home to him, he's a perfect father standing with his arms wide open, ready to receive you and take you on a brand new adventure where you're free from your past, free from those labels, free from anything that's trying to hold you back. So you could repeat this just under your breath or in your heart. You say, dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that you did for me what I could never do for myself. Through his death on a cross and his resurrection, I stand free in you. I'm asking that you'd forgive me of all of my sin. Set me free and put me on a new adventure with you. And I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is my Lord. Amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time or either as a recommitment, just chat with one of the team afterwards. We'd love to talk about, you know, what you just did and how to get started on this incredible new adventure with God. But now, seeing as it's Pentecost, there's no better Sunday to do this than to invite the Holy Spirit. Now, especially if you've been at Alpha, you've been hearing a few weeks of who he is, what he does, what this is all about, and maybe you still have questions. That's okay. I certainly do. And questions are okay. But we're going to pray right now for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. If you've done this before, why not do it again? The Bible says that it's not just a one and done thing. You can receive as much of the Holy Spirit as often as you like. You can be filled with His presence and you can keep on being filled. And this isn't about being a first or second class Christian. It's not like, you know, some people have the Holy Spirit and others don't and they're somehow better. It's not that. If you believe in Jesus, if you follow Him, you are saved, you are loved. You could not be more loved even if you tried. But the Holy Spirit is maybe knocking at the door of your heart right now and saying, there's another level. I'm here. How much do you want? How much more do you want from me? Maybe it's the difference between if in our old lives we've been stuck in a prison cell, trapped in our sin, our guilt, our shame, our pain, old labels. It's the difference between God opening the prison door and you actually stepping out of the prison. When you come to Jesus, God opens the prison door. You are saved. You are set free. But He's not wanting you to stay stuck in old habits. What's the difference between the door opening and you stepping out? Both times you're free completely, but only one of them is living in that freedom, is experiencing that freedom. So I'm going to pray right now, and however you respond to God, that's up to you. Maybe you want to raise your hands. Maybe you want to put your hand on your heart. But I'd encourage you, whatever it is that you do, just take a step right now, saying to God, I'm ready to receive. And I'm going to pray. Thank you, Father, that you really did send your Son to set us free. And thank you that after that, you really did send your very self, your spirit, your personal presence to meet us, to live within us, to rest upon us, to empower us, to live life at the next level, to live life 2.0. And right now, Holy Spirit, we say, as a group together and as individuals, we say, you are welcome. You are so welcome here, Holy Spirit. Would you come right now and do whatever you want to do? Meet with people. Speak to the deep places of their heart that maybe even they've locked away. Old hurts and old pains. Thank you that those deepest, darkest parts of our lives that make us the most ashamed or the most scared, thank you that that is the very place that you're wanting to reach. Holy Spirit, thank you right now that you're saying all disqualifications are removed. There's no shame, there's no fear, there's no guilt, there's no sin. There's no lack that disqualifies anyone here from receiving all of you. And where people have piled the pressure on in their lives, would you remove that right now, Jesus? Remove any disqualifications, anything that is trying to block people from receiving all that you have and all that you are. I just remove it right now in the name of Jesus. All chains are falling off. All obstacles are being removed. All baggage is being let go of. That worry that is in people's lives, that very thing that people are nervous about, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're coming right now and saying, I'll take that for you. Don't worry, I can take care of that. You don't have to live in your head anymore. I'll take that. Thank you that you renew our minds, Holy Spirit. You take care of that. And as we move from head to heart, God, thank you that you bring your power I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would flood people with a new power right now, a power over their mind and thinking, a power over their circumstances, over their relationships, over their work, a power to see themselves and see others set totally, completely free. Holy Spirit, thank you that you don't do anything by half. You don't make junk. Would you impart yourself to people right now and minister to them? Speak to them. Tell them that you're not junk. You're not a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And as we move from head to heart to hands, as you're calling us, as you're leading us to go to our world, out into the world, to share what we have with others, where there's any uncertainty, God, about where to go and what to do and how to do it, where there's uncertainty, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bring clarity. Where there's confusion, thank you that you're bringing peace right now. Where there's any fear of change, thank you that you're bringing courage. Where there's any fear of having to change, any worry about, well, what will this mean for my life if I open it up to God? Holy Spirit, right now, I believe he wants to give you peace to know that God is good. He's trustworthy. Maybe you've done something like this before, but you feel like it's so difficult signing away my life. It's so difficult giving that bit of my life over to God. Holy Spirit just wants to say, you can trust me. I'll take care of that. Come now, Holy Spirit, and minister to people this Pentecost Sunday, just like you did to the disciples 2,000 years ago. Would you fill this room and fill every heart with you, your presence, your love, your peace, your power. Thank you that you're never moving out. And thank you that as we leave this place, as we go into the rest of our weekend and into Monday morning tomorrow, thank you that there will be a new supernatural edge to our words, our actions. Thank you that we will feel your little nudges, Holy Spirit. We'll learn to hear your voice, and we will see our world and the worlds of those around us transformed. I commission you, Lighthouse Church, to be that light, that city set on a hill in your world, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your nation, and beyond this nation, wherever God is calling you. Thank you that you are sent by the King of Kings. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, we're going to go out singing a song of praise, declaring that God is always good. Why don't you put your hands together? When I'm weak.